to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast, episode 62 of the Sports Report Podcast. And I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. I got Gene from Cleveland on line number one with us. Gene, how you doing, man?
All right. How you doing this week, Will?
Doing good, man. How's your week been?
Week's been good. You know, we had all the Hall of Fame events going on this week and kind of surrounded Sunday. So it's really good. Kids doing well.
Now, you had the Hall of Fame this week. What, as we get into our topics here, what was your takeaway from the Hall of Fame class this year?
Well, the fact, you know, T.O. not being there, I think, like I said before, he should have been there. Regardless of whatever, you know, he feels, that's, you know, when they up there for the induction, that's their moment. So they don't rush him up there. They let him talk and go over their career and things that were, you know, vital in their career. He should have been there and put that all behind him about being snubbed the first couple of years or whatever. The other downside was, I thought was, you know, Ray Lewis, he was up there forever. He had some great messages. Nothing, I'm taking nothing away from his messages, but he was up there. He was up there quite a while. And but for the most part, like I said, you know, T.O. should have been there. I just thought, you know, that would have been something great. I also thought about this too. I also thought about with this whole situation with the anthem. You know, if there's a time, then that's the stage, you know, to say something, to do something.
I agree.
So, if those guys wanted to take a knee right there.
Yep.
You know, but that didn't happen, and I think that shows where that goes as far as with Kaepernick, how they really feel about that. They're probably like, hey, this is not the place, no. This is one of the biggest stages. All eyes are on Canton, Ohio. All eyes are on the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that I think that's a moment that if they were going to do that, they should have done it again.
Yeah. That would have been a great place to do it for sure. You brought it up earlier with T.O. If you would have said the exact same thing on the big stage, I think it may have incited some type of change with the writers. You were about to say something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that would have definitely put haste on the situation, and it definitely would have solidified the whole movement.
Definitely would have done something. I thought it was a good show overall. The only person I questioned being on that stage, and I could be short-sighted on this, and please forgive me, listening public, if I am, I fall short of the glory. Brian Urlacher, I'm kind of dumbfounded that he was up there. I really am. And not to slight him at all, but I just look at the whole situation as a whole. Hall of Famer? Really?
And who was the other great linebacker that was there with him?
Ray Lewis was there. And you get Ray Lewis.
They put him in the same class as Ray Lewis.
Yeah. You get Ray Lewis. You understand why Ray Lewis is there. But I just... And I loved him coming out of college. I did love Urlacher coming out of college. I will say that. And I don't mean to slight. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer. I just don't. He's there. Congratulations to him. And I'm not hating. Great career. But I just don't see him being a true Hall of Famer. But I digress. He's there. Congrats to him. Congrats to all those guys. Because at some point in time, they all deserve to be there. Despite my trepidations of it. All right. There's a topic I know you hold near and dear to your heart. I'm about to bring up next. LeBron James and Donald Trump going at it. They're going at it. First LeBron James, then Trump. What do you think about this whole thing between those two?
Well, I think LeBron has to be honest, I think he really doesn't have to say anything. What he's done and what he's doing has definitely speaks volumes about his character, his intelligence, his timing. It's all above par. 45 is a dunce.
Yep.
I really, really don't understand. And I'm starting to think this is just a smack in the face of what it takes to be in public office and being the president of the United States. You follow a guy, Barack Obama, you follow him, which this guy's an intelligent guy. It's a Harvard guy. His wife is very brilliant. And then you bring this guy behind him to succeed him with no political experience, all the money in the world. But he doesn't have a clue about being a representative of a country where they say this is the best place on earth to be. And he's using people's celebrity, more say minority,
right,
to divide amongst the racial lines. You know, anytime you say, was it Donovan McNabb that they said wasn't smart enough to play quarterback when he was quarterback?
Yep.
And it goes back along those lines. LeBron ain't smart enough to be anything more than a basketball player.
Should have been played, they say.
To go to social media, go to his Twitter account, and call Don Lemon a dummy, and then call LeBron unintelligent, speaks volumes of this dude's education. Because them are the front runners, and people follow them, and they're making good of what they're doing. And he just turns it upside down and says some of the most stupidest crap I've ever heard in my life. But at the end of the day, I don't base it on intelligence or non-intelligence. I base it on that's where his level of competency is at. He doesn't know anything else but stupidity. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think it hurts LeBron's legacy one bit. But what it does is it gets the masses irate. So you have people out there that are opinionated and want to say certain things in the same manner, and he's allowing that to happen now. You know, it's okay to say that, because if he says it, he runs his country. So people start thinking, well, if he says it, it's okay, so I can say it too. But it's really not. And but that's what he's allowing to happen right now. And he caused a lot of tension. And I just completely don't understand. Until we take back the House, or till the Democrats take back the House, or because he controls everything right now, this will probably continue until if and they vote him out or vote somebody else in. But he's not going to just step down and leave, and I don't think nobody's going to come in and make him leave.
Yeah. You're not supposed to mix the two, politics and sports, but with this president, he's doing that for you. He's taking politics and mixing it with sports. And my issue is, don't you have something better to do, like run this country, than worry about some the NFL or NBA players? You have a country to run.
Right.
I don't think that this is the proper way a president should conduct himself. And again, that last little comment sort of kind of got to me in that tweet that he sent out. I like Mike better. And normally Mike, normally Mike don't answer the stuff like that. Nobody leaves that stuff alone. He responded quick.
Exactly.
He responded quick, fast, and hurry. No, I love what LeBron. I support LeBron and what he do. He doing a great job for his community. And normally he just let stuff like that slide off his head. But
yeah, water under a bridge for him.
Yeah, but he got in that conversation.
He don't. He receives it, but his responses are very clever, and he's still responding. But the biggest problem is the government got to take accountability on this.
Yes.
You know, they got to take some type of accountability, transparent, and, you know, because to me it's corruption. I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it.
There is no other way
corruption.
To put it.
And it's a smack in the face for that position. And I think LeBron has, even though he didn't go to college, but I think he has a team around him who kind of dictates certain issues that he should deal with and he shouldn't deal with. I think they pick up the slack on some things, but that was a direct insult to him. And like I said, his perfect response when asked by Don Lemon, it's like, would you ever sit down with the president? He's like, no. But I would sit down with Barack Obama.
You know,
and to me, that speaks volumes, because he could have said Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill Clinton, as far as economically, he was, one of the best presidents, you know. But he could have said anything else, but I think he goes minority. I think he goes Barack Obama for the simple fact, because that's who, you know, Trump slanders 95% of the time. But like I said, sometimes the one thing you got to respect about it is he's very consistent with being an idiot. So you got to respect that part of what's going on. You know what you're getting dealing with this guy. And I think at the end of the day, he doesn't use cognitive ability to think about a damn thing.
Nope.
And LeBron is one of those type guys with a gift, and he has a gift that speaks volumes, because he's able to do so much with the power he has. So you know, and now he's getting a following. You know, he opened up this school. Now he's turned the page on some things. Now people are looking. Now he has to be careful.
Yep.
Now he has to watch himself. Now he has to watch what he says. Now he has to direct certain comments in another direction, or maybe relayed another way. And I think that's what Trump is trying to do. He's trying to challenge his greatness. And it's like, well, if I can get him, the typical, if I can get him angry, he'll do something stupid. And because he can't defeat him any other way. So I think that's why this whole back and forth, it's really not back and forth. It's you get pissed off because the guy asks LeBron, would you sit down with the president? He says no. So now I have to be an idiot because I don't want to sit down with you.
Right.
It's not, you don't, you're not talking about anything, first of all, that pertains to anything that is productive in the society from which LeBron comes from. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So at the end of the day, it's just mumble jumble. And it's just mumble jumble.
The whole time through. And I don't know if you've noticed, when things come up, when it comes, he's kind of cornered on policy. That's when his criticism of these athletes and of certain, and certain, I'm not going to say our peers, but certain people, he'll pick on them and degrade, I'm not going to say degrade, but criticize them. Don Lemon, perfect example you brought up earlier, he got asked about policy, I believe, a little bit before he put out that tweet. And instead of addressing the policy he was asked about, I think it was the farmers issue,
mm-hmm.
instead of him talking about that, he put out that tweet about LeBron.
Yep. He made that priority.
Yeah. Come on, man. Really? Run.
Right.
The country.
Because most of the, I think, I can't say for sure, I mean, but, you know, most of those guys have speech writers, or their PR people, or what's the lady's name who handles all the media questions? They have those people in place,
mm-hmm.
and just like they would answer questions for the president, they also put together some things for him as far as politics that he may not know about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So some of the stuff he really probably doesn't even know. He's just saying, they're saying, say this, do this, and do this. And he's just doing it. So he really doesn't have a clue. This guy's not, you know, he's not a politician. He's a overrated landlord.
And, agreed.
And that's what he's been. But he's learned how to gain a lot of money behind what he does.
Right.
And that's what's keeping him where he's at. This guy's got a ton of money. And he's got a ton of connections.
Indeed he does. Indeed he does. All right, let's go into our next topic. Go be a show. Did not expect that to happen. My bad, folks. Next thing I want to talk about, it's going to be a short show. I got some things I need to take care of on a personal note tomorrow, and I got to get an early start on that. But definitely going to hit you with a show tonight. Kevin Benjamin, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, now with the Buffalo Bills, critiques his former quarterback Cam Newton, says Carolina was a bad fit for him, and he wished he had a better QB. Kevin Benjamin, you killing me, man. You killing me. I don't think it was Cam Newton that hurt your performance. It was you that hurt your performance. Dude's up to 280 pounds.
Yeah, 280 pounds. I don't even understand how these... I mean, man, you blaming Cam Newton before, because you know, before Cam and them went to the Super Bowl, you know, they always had a problem with the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And they finally got that offensive line intact, and they was able to get them to the Super Bowl. And Kelvin Benjamin was still pretty much a no-show.
Yep.
He was a no-show, and he was in good shape when he went to the Super Bowl. He just, he isn't the receiver that maybe he think he is.
Mm-hmm. I thought was very indicative that year he was hurt. Cam Newton had a good year. It's so frustrating. If he could stay away from that dinner table,
mm-hmm,
and get dedicated in the gym, he'll get back to what he used to look like in college. And he was awesome in college.
Very awesome in college.
Very, very awesome.
And then he went and went to the Bills. I think with the Bills, I mean, he virtually wasn't even a prime target.
Yeah.
I think maybe a couple 15, 14 passes total career over there.
Mm-hmm.
Total catches. You know, he really didn't do anything. I think he came to the Panthers. He ought to thank Cam because Cam was actually looking for him.
Exactly.
You know, to do some things. And then this is, you turn around, this is what you do to him. He's inaccurate. So, those guys sometimes, man, you know, those guys seem to forget that you're going to play this game with 9 months out of the year, and you can't go in the off season. It's okay to cheat a little bit. You know, I'm sure all of them cheat, you know. But after about a month off, you need to be back in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
You need to be working. You need to be training physically and controlling that weight, because that's super heavy for a receiver.
Agreed.
280 pounds?
That's more.
Like, how did you?
That's more than most tight ends in the league.
Exactly. I don't even know how he even managed to do that. I mean, he just said, the hell with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, he's got to get himself rededicated back to that gym. All right, we're going to switch over to the NBA for a quick second. The Los Angeles Lakers over under for wins this coming season. It's 48.5. Gene, is that too high or is that too low?
Nah, that's about right. I think the team is pretty much, I think it's better than what people think. Like we talked before on other podcasts, they're a very young team, but it's a better team than the Cavs.
Right. That's agreed. They, yeah, we both agree on that. Way better than what they had on the Cavs. I thought it was interesting too that your boy J.R. Smith was in the news earlier up here talking about going to Houston.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, supposed to be going to Houston via trade. They're supposed to be trying to get rid of him and Korver, because they're saying that I don't think he's going to fit in the scheme of things now with the pickups of obviously Kyle Sexton, and then they just picked up the guard from Chicago. Picked up that guy. Then they picked up Sam Decker, which is a power forward, but he can play outside the key.
Right.
But for the most part, I think they want to go youth, and they want to go young. That's why I think they're going to get, you know, shop Korver and him, and just build everything around Kevin Love. And but yeah, he doesn't have. I don't even think he'll play as hard without LeBron being there. Because I think LeBron was like his mentor.
Oh, yeah.
For the first couple of years, and getting, you know, getting back on track as far as being a better player on the court. But after that debacle in the finals, we might see him coming off the bench.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he can help Houston win anything whatsoever.
No.
All right.
Well, he's got 2 years left on his contract, so I don't think nobody wants to take that low right now with his age, and he, you know, obviously he's diminished a whole lot, and the mistakes he's been making. So I don't know if anybody wants to really pick up that contract. So it might be a situation where they could work Korver into a trade with him. It definitely probably some team will keep Korver because he still can shoot it. And somehow, like they did Carmelo Anthony, maybe buy it out or maybe waive him. You know what I mean? And then let him re-sign a smaller veteran contract deal. That's what I see. I don't see nobody. He knows his big contract days are over.
Yeah. He's got to know that. He's got to know that. I remember when JR was good.
When he was with Denver, I mean, he was top notch. Mm-hmm. You know, he was dunking, he was shooting the ball well, wasn't getting in a lot of trouble.
Nope.
He played really well down there. And then, you know, towards the end of his time in Denver and when he got traded to New York, he kind of took it a turn for the worse.
Yeah. He really did. He really, really did. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the situation over at Ohio State. And that's close to you as well. Do you think they should let Urban Meyer go?
No. I think once they finish their investigation, and he means a lot to the program. I mean, he's been a winner everywhere. He's won Florida, Ohio State. But this particular situation, here's where I have a problem with the whole deal. And it goes all the way back to the receivers coach, his wife. Goes back to her. Why didn't you just call the police?
Yep.
If it was such a big deal at the time, why don't you call the police? But instead, you know, she calls, you know, Urban's wife, tells her the story. You know what? You know, supposedly, you know, they were like, no, well, don't say nothing. This guy's, he'll probably go to jail. You know, he'll probably lose his job. We don't want that to happen. Then comes out, well, that wasn't the only incident. Now it was, 2015, and it was 2017 mm-hmm. that he had another incident or whatnot. Urban Meyer has a new contract that was signed in April, and the lingo in it was Title IX, where if you know suspected sexual abuse or whatever, boom, 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 you got to go through the proper channels and steps and tell this person, tell that person, this, that, and the third. Well, in 2015, that wasn't in his contract, and I really believe if she calls the police, then he'll definitely be notified, the whole university, the athletic director, because I feel what's going to happen is it's going to involve Gene Smith, which is the AD.
Right.
I think they're going to drag him in there some kind of way because of the chain of command and the direction that you're supposed to go in when something happens like this. So I really don't think they have a case. I think what they have is just a miscommunication. I think she did throw, you know, Urban Meyer's wife, because if you fire Urban, you have to fire his wife too, because she works for the university as well.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, she works for the university and she's a nurse.
Okay.
And so she threw him under the bus, but I also think, like I said, the loophole is the whole you know, the Title IX wasn't present in the lingo of his contract. It came after the extension. And then, once again, it goes back to, you know, why didn't you just call the police? If it was that big of a deal and you felt that threatened, then call the police. I mean, you know, and then, you know, you showed everybody these, you know, the wounds and the bruises or whatnot. But at the end of the day, I would never say no. You know, you should accept that, but at the end of the day, you have to do your part too, because now you drug other people in this who obviously wanted nothing to do with it, and it shouldn't have been brought into that arena, but it was, and now we're sitting here like one of the best coaches in college football is just getting, you know, ramrodded.
Oh yeah.
Like Joe Paterno, you know. But the Joe Paterno was totally different because, you know, they actually seen this guy in the act, and then it was told to Joe Pye, and Joe Pye did nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's totally different there. I mean, you know, Joe Pye, come on. This guy's, the coach came back and said, listen, that guy's in the shower right now with a kid. What do we do? Joe Pye did nothing. So with this Urban Meyer, I don't think he fully knew. I'm not going to say he fully knew. I'm going to just say he probably felt like, hey, call the police. If that's the case, you know, call the police. But like any great coach who's loyal to the program, who's loyal to his coaches, you know, they're going to be like, okay, listen, don't do it again. You know what I mean? And then you do it again, and now this happens. You know, so, you know, I don't know. Do you think you got a good argument?
My only thing, first of all, there were no charges filed. That's
right.
The first thing in this whole situation. Second,
yep.
I don't know. Well, hell, I knew I wouldn't. He's on paid administrative leave. Damn that. You're going to work. You're going to work that time out. You are a championship coach. I'm quite sure you can handle the distraction. Paid administrative leave, what's that? That's a vacation.
Right.
That's a vacation. You're probably off in the island somewhere chilling. I know I would be.
And I'm still getting paid. And you're still getting paid.
You're still getting paid. Paid administrative leave. Nope, you working that out, buddy. And the one thing, you have to be on your P's and Q's at Ohio State. Hell, they let Trestle go for less.
Yeah, they let Trestle go for less. Same type of situation, but they let him go for less.
Yep.
And Trestle was a good coach, and he was good for the, I mean, he did some good things for the program.
Yep.
And it seems like, in his deposition, you know, it went suspended. For three games, I think it was, or four games, and then it went to a high number of games, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he resigned.
Yeah.
You know, so usually when they let him resign on any level is to allow them to be able to get a future job. And whatever monies that probably was owed to him during his tenure, they'll get. You know what I mean? So it also, you know, helps them, you know, so they won't be, you know, out of nothing, you know, during the transition of trying to find another job or during his firing. So, like I said, and everybody's got to dot their I's and cross their T's, especially when you're accusing somebody of something, especially your prior knowledge, but it was so long ago. And the University of Ohio State, they're going to dot their I's and cross their T's because somebody can come back and sue them, you know. So, at the end of the day, you know, I think they're doing a really, really, I think they're going to do a really thorough investigation. Because what he has meant to the game of football, what he's meant to Ohio State,
yep.
And he has a record of, you know, dismissing guys off the team for those same exact situations, and he never hesitated. So that says a lot, and that's kind of in his favor, because I think if he really knew about this situation, he would have got rid of this coach. But you know, the coach might be in there on the buddy system. Hey, it's my buddy's nephew or my buddy's whatever.
Right.
Great nephew. And then, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And you know, those guys get in knowing he's not a quality receiver coach. I mean, I could just tell, over the last, couple years, we really just ain't had a really outstanding receiver since Devin Smith. And so that goes back to, you know, development.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's one of those situations, maybe this guy's related to somebody and he's, you know, getting this guy a job and we're just trying to, you know, keep him out of trouble. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, you know, he does some things. I think just, you know, because he's done and he won't be back. But I think Urban is, I think they'll keep him around.
I'm gonna tell you, if Urban keeps his job throughout all this, that's gonna be his greatest victory.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be better than national championship.
Yep. His greatest victory will be beating this bum rap, assuming that everything's not true. Now,
the precursor to a firing is paid administrative leave. We know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually there comes a firing, but I think they're going to do a thorough investigation. And I think Ohio State's handling it, and hopefully they handle it the right way, because then the NCAA has to take action too. So I think they'll let Ohio State do what they need to do and feel is best. Obviously, they already went in the direction of her and the situation over Urban by putting him on paid administrative leave, but I think that standard is procedure, it's policy, and we just got to see what comes out of it.
Now, you know good and well that if they do fire Urban Meyer, he's going to have schools just lined up, ready to hire, just ready to hire him, off the rip.
Oh, yeah.
Off the rip. He's going to be one of the most sought-after coaches ever. My only issue with Urban Meyer is the fact that he was doing stuff like this with players down in Florida too.
Because he's the thing is, he had Hernandez down there in Florida.
He did. Mm-hmm.
And he gets most of the, I think we all agree, most of your top athletes, it's only a few, and we're talking about the numbers are really, really low. If you're getting an athlete that excels and isn't somewhat a knucklehead.
Right.
I think, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of those athletes that he have is what I call the edge athlete. It's those ones that bring that edge. You know, they had a hard upbringing. Maybe no father. Maybe, very unstable situation over the course of his, you know, high school and before high school, middle school, elementary, whatever, those years. And then, you know, he just developed this just killer instinct of super athleticism. And 9 times out of 10, that's what college scouts, they kind of look for, even though they say they don't. But if you look at the history of, you know, those players in Florida that he's had, the players at Ohio State that he's had, some of these other Miami University, they were big for that. You know, so you know, you're getting those kids that are definitely probably not excelling in the classroom, too tough, and they're making a way for them to get to the league because of their athleticism, and it's now you can't cover it up anymore. Because you say, hey, listen, just get there, carry the ball, be quiet, I'll get you to where you need to be, you know. And now it's like, oh, man, here comes Josh Gordon. Oh, man, here comes Adam Pac-Man Jones, you know.
Man.
And that guy's done so much, and I really don't understand how he still has a job in the NFL. You compare what he's done and compare what Josh Gordon has done, there is not a single way to balance that out. But he keeps a job, so. And Josh Gordon, you know, he's doing a little substance abuse, and he's drinking a little alcohol. Oh, he's the worst human being on earth. You know, let's ban him out of the league. But you got Adam Pac-Man Jones and literally in a gunfight. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the last time we saw Adam Pac-Man Jones, he was at the airport giving somebody a two-piece.
Yeah, he gave him a two-piece. Once again, you know, trouble finds that dude. And he I think I think he said something to this guy. Obviously, he provoked it, but, you know, they always get the retaliator. And, of course, they're probably going back and forth having words, but I'm sure Pac-Man Jones said something that provoked this guy to want to fight him physically.
I believe it.
You know? Yep.
I believe it. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Now, going back to the NFL for a second, Odell Beckham Jr., do you think the Giants should grant him a long-term deal?
When he's healthy, he's the best receiver in the league, down there besides Antonio Brown.
Yep.
So, you know, that's up in the air, you know, because he's a superior athlete. I think, was it last season, he had, an ankle? He rolled his ankle in the game, and he was out for weeks after that. So, can you trust him? If it was based on what he's done and talent and what's there, yeah, you can give him the money, but I don't know if he's going to hold up.
Another thing, too, and I said this about Le'Veon Bell and his little issue going to the strip club while he's holding out for this next new deal. The reason why players don't really give you that is because of the player's judgment. And you saw OBJ go through some stuff during the offseason. But I still think that he may have to go through this season playing on what you playing on the contract you have right now. But with this new management, new owner, new management in play, they have to see what you're going to do. They're going to see if you can earn their trust. Now, I think if he can do that, and he can stay healthy, then I think he would be worth keeping long term. Because definitely, the talent with OBJ is there. You just wish the decision making was better.
They want to give him the money. I think they are going to give him the money.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I think they're going to give it to him. I mean, I think he'll be the highest paid receiver in the league once they do that. But like us as fans, us watching, you know, we thinking like, you know, that's too risky to give him that much money, and he's been banged up pretty good throughout his career, but. You know, those are the ups and downs of the NFL, because they can sign a guy tomorrow in perfect health, and then he tears a knee, or he tears an ACL, or you know what I mean. So, you know, it's a risky, especially with football, because so much contact. So it's a risky sport, and I think with Odell Beckham, he's shown that he is human and he does get hurt. But I mean, He can be the best receiver in the league if he just stay healthy.
Yep. And I would like to see the decision making on these guys, both him, Le'Veon Bell. I want the decision making to be better, because if you get the money at that point, not only are you rich, but you're also the face of that team's franchise who gave you the money.
That'll be interesting because of the draft pick, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
you know that's gonna be real interesting. You know, come this season, because I think Saquon is gonna do some great things if he stays healthy all year. And Odell Beckham is already celebrity status, Saquon can be the next man. I mean, he can be the face of that team. Seriously,
he could.
Yeah,
he could. What do you think about the Giants' offense? We know they ain't got nobody on defense. We ain't worried about the defense. What do you think about the Giants' offense?
I'm really not I like the Giants, and, you know, of course, you've been watching Eli Manning, which his skills are diminishing just a tad bit.
Yeah.
I think that's why they were going to go quarterback if the Browns would have picked Saquon Barkley.
Right.
But since that didn't happen, they took the best player they thought was on the board. The franchise itself in the last couple of years has been up and down. Like I said, when you bench Eli and you have to fire one of your front office guys to get him back in the starting lineup, that was kind of smack in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was smack in the face to the backup quarterback, and it was just a smack in the face for the organization. But I don't see them being nowhere near the Justin Tuck team, the Michael Strahan guys. I definitely don't see that. I think they're on the rise. I liked it, Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. I did. I thought he was a hard-nosed, gritty head coach. But, you know, you got a new coach. It's a change of direction. And I think this Saquon Barkley is going to actually be, because I don't know what quite they have on their offensive line. But I think with the addition of him, that takes a little bit of pressure off of Eli.
Yep.
And I think that's the way this GM was thinking. He was like, well, we already know Eli's on the bubble right now. I mean, I think he's still a decent quarterback, experienced quarterback, but I think he was on the bubble. But I think it'll take a lot of pressure off him if we get this back and let him carry the ball 25 times, you know, and take some pressure off that guy. So save his career for a couple more years. But I think they'll be fine.
They're doing it with Drew Brees.
Yep.
Doing it with Drew Brees. That's a proven formula down in New Orleans. You got those two bats. You got Thunder and Lightning
yep.
down there. So, great move by the Saints. Going to extend Drew Brees. John's going to try to extend Eli Manning a little bit. I also want to see the growth of the receiver on the other side in Sterling Shepard. I like Sterling Shepard a lot. I saw you guys, the Browns traded Corey Coleman today.
Mm-hmm.
That made me mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Corey Coleman ain't really done nothing
mm-mm.
since he came in the league. Broken hand. I think he was injured maybe, what's he been in the league, 3 years?
These three.
Came up. Yeah, and he hasn't done nothing in Cleveland.
Mm-mm.
I think it was a good trade for them, money-wise, because he was a first-round draft pick.
Yep.
Takes a little bit of money off the books. But, like I said, Corey Coleman never was great hands to me. He was more speed than he was anything.
Right.
Especially at 5'11". He's probably listed at 5'11". He's probably about 5'10", 185 pounds. He really didn't stand out for me. I think, you know, college and pros are totally different.
Mm-hmm.
When you are running routes and you're getting good starts off the line, in college it's a little bit different, you know. But in the pros, you know, linebackers are running a 4-5, you know, and you know cornerbacks are relatively bigger,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we're talking about 6'2" DBs now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they come in the league and then it's like, oh my God. But he had just problems with injuries. I think he broke his hand in one year. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was either a knee or an ankle that had plagued him. So he really hasn't had a really prolific career. I think that, you know, his last year at Baylor was the year that got him in the league. You know what I mean? I think he's over, like, 1,300 yards, maybe 22 TDs or something like that. So he performed well to get himself into the league, and then once he got to the league, it was just like, where did that guy go? and he's still young. He's only 24.
Yeah.
He's only 24, and the Bills relatively needed another receiver.
They did.
Yeah. So I think it helps them a whole lot, and it clears some salary for the Browns. You know what I mean? So it was a good trade. It wasn't like it was a good trade. We're not missing anything. You know what I mean? So, and I think it makes the Bills. I think it makes the Bills better. I think he may be better in Buffalo. You know, guys seem to sometimes leave teams and they be better where they go. Just
yep.
system. You know what I mean? So
need a fresh start. guys may just need to fresh start to rejuvenate themselves. And he just may do that in Buffalo. All right, the other night, we had the debut of rookie quarterback Lamar Jackson makes his debut. Baltimore Ravens, I know you watched that game. What was your thoughts of Lamar? How do you think, how well do you think he did?
I like Lamar. I think it's a good pickup. I don't think he has a shot at playing right away a whole lot just because of Flacco.
Yep.
But I think he can be the number two quarterback because I think that they'll eventually, I think they're going to waive RG3. He didn't look good at all. Mm. Like I said, his it's not, and when we, and like I said, we go back to when we're talking preseason, when we're talking the first game of the season. We're not going to have our starters out there.
Right.
We're going to be running the twos and threes a lot. So Lamar was behind the second and third team linemen. Like I said, he didn't look absolutely great, but you can see he can do some things if he's got protection. So he's got good wheels. He's got good field vision. Runs the ball really well. Changed levels really well. And I think that he'll be around for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think, because his athleticism, it just showed. I mean, his speed was like, he was getting around off the edges. I'm like, woo. Yeah, that's something special. You know, and the way he held his composure in the pocket, like, you know, he'll step up in the pocket, and then if one of the guards or somebody's getting beat on the line, he was able to elude them. And a lot of quarterbacks can't do that with that much space, and you're trying to sit in the pocket. So I've seen some good things out of him. I think he's going to be fine. I just know he probably won't be playing a lot soon unless, you know, Flacco goes down. But Flacco's their guy.
I think Baltimore, if Flacco's not winning, I think they'll put a plug on him, man. I think they'll put a plug on him if they're not winning. I forgot when their bye week was. But if they're not winning with Flacco, I see by week 8, I think they pull him. I think they pull him.
I mean, they could be. I mean, those Baltimore teams over the last, when they were really good, was predicated on defense.
Yep.
It wasn't really predicated on the offense. Even though Flacco's big and he can do some things back there, it really wasn't about the offense. It was really the defense.
Yep.
So now we're starting to see that the offense has to do some things because the defense is not there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I think Flacco could get her done, but once again, I would like to see game 4 of the preseason when we're seeing more of Jackson get immaculated with NFL tempo and see if the game slows down a little bit for him and he starts seeing some things. But he's a smooth guy. I like what I've seen. It didn't look good, but as far as him mechanic-wise, because it was a few throws, a little short, a little wide, but that's going to happen the first game. I mean, timing is always going to be something that's not going to be there right away. And you're working with receivers you don't know them, you don't know their tendencies. Flacco is probably, he knows his window is closing, definitely.
Particularly when the team drafts somebody at your position, you know something up.
Oh yeah,
you already know.
It's two things. He's gonna come straight in and take it, or you're gonna groom him to take it.
That's right. That is right. And once they feel that quarterback is groomed, they'll release Joe Flacco, which is a damn shame. But these teams, they don't guarantee any contracts or anything like that. They can cut your pay. They can get rid of you whenever they want.
Yep. I mean, he's 33, you know. I mean, he's still, he's right there, you know, at that. He's right there, excuse me. He's right there at that age where two things are going to happen. either smooths out and gets better, or just you completely lose it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right, guys. I want to go ahead and give you a quick rundown on all the shows you can listen to right here on Rant Yam Radio. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, will be The Shining Wizards. I believe it's episode 382, followed by The Rant, episode 558 at 9 p.m. Eastern. Friday is all new episode of Rant Wrestling, followed by 9 p.m. You got Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Choppy and Philly Phil. Happy birthday to you, Philly Phil, man. Happy belated birthday. Sunday, I believe that What Are You Reading Comic Show will be back. And then Monday will be this fine show, The Sports Report, 11:58 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. Real quick, speaking of wrestling, Jerry Lawler, you're in my prayers, you're in our thoughts, you're in our prayers. We lost Brian Christopher this week. Damn shame. I loved him, but he was in there, it's too cool.
Anytime you lose a kid, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and he goes before you. But you know, Brian Christopher was a generational wrestler. It's pretty, from you know, he knew the business and you know the ins and outs of the business from being around Dad so long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always. It's always unfortunate when you you know, you grow a man, you see him, you know, kind of taking over things and the passing of the guards taking place, and then, you know, and then you lose him to situations like this, you know. So it's always tough, you know, and you know, people understand, you know, especially with guys like, you know, those guys, what was it, Ric Flair, you know, he lost his son.
Yep.
You know that. I think that, you know, it sits with you because by design it pulls out live you.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that, you know, we don't control that, and sometimes when that doesn't happen, but you know, the way things happen is always what's in question. You know, it's like, you know, son's doing this and doing some great things, and then, you know, all of a sudden he's gone. So you know, it's always and he, I think in he was almost 50, I believe. Yeah, so you know, it's unfortunate, and cause Lawler's what, 70?
Gotta be 71, 72, somewhere in there.
Yeah, he's up there, and so that's always tough, you know what I mean? You expect him to carry on the legacy.
Yep. Most definitely. Rest in peace, Brian Christopher. Jerry Law, thoughts and prayers are with you, my friend. All right, anything else you want to get out there before we roll out for the night?
No, that's pretty good for me.
Next week, since we have football season coming back, we're going to be doing some divisional previews. We're going to try to hit two divisions each show to get you ready for this coming NFL season. I'm excited. We got football back. Johnny Manziel made his trash debut of the Canadian League.
Man, was that horrible?
Oh, my goodness.
Your first throw is an interception to the other team. And here's the deal. I've seen some moments of the guy that was at Texas A&M. I've seen some moments.
Mm.
But if you can't play in the CFL with only 8 teams in that league,
yep,
you will not be back in the NFL.
Mm-mm. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's a step slower.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's still... And granted, he's been away from the game since 2015. You got to get your legs back up under you. You got to get the tempo, understand the speed again, and then the different rules that's played in the Canadian League versus playing in the NFL. So you've seen some things there, and then you've seen just a lack of... It's almost like he didn't practice. And he was just trying to make things happen throughout that game, just, you know, freelancing. And so hopefully, if he's still starting, if he's still starting, because that was horrible.
It was.
I mean, this team got up on him 30 points in the first half, something like that. The first, maybe out of the first 10 possessions, the first six possessions, you gave it away four times. Those aren't good. And the crazy part about it, he played against the team that he got traded from.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Mazzola, that's that quarterback over there. You wasn't going to take his position. It was good that you got out of there. So hopefully this week, you know, because they televised the games. I watched that, a little bit of that one. But, you know, once he wasn't doing anything, you know, it was like, because the one thing about Johnny Manziel is his name is still ringing. And it's not ringing as far as, because people really concerned about Johnny Manziel.
Right.
You know, they're concerned about him. So they want to see him be a great quarterback. They want to see him playing the game he loves. But I also think, too, you wasn't that good for the NFL. You were great in college, but you wasn't good. You're not that good for the NFL.
Right. Very interesting. Let's see if he, A, has a starting job, and B, if he can rebound this week. All right, everybody. Gene, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you calling in.
No doubt.
I appreciate everybody being here in the chat room. Thank you for that. Appreciate all the downloads we've been getting lately. I thank you for that. Everything is looking very good on that side. And I do appreciate you guys listening to the show. Whenever you get a free moment, get a free chance. Maybe you get that long bus commute to work. I know Phil sometimes listens to the show when he's on his way to work, on his way back home, on a long commute. So definitely check us out. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. I'll see you next Monday, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right here on Rant EM Radio. Jim, man, thank you for calling in again, and take care, okay?
No, yep, talk to you later.
All right, man.
Yep, see you.